Opening narration.
Akhotra Foundation presents the Akhotra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akhotra AI.
Introduction.
Welcome to the Akhotra Dialogue. Today, we're diving deep into a truly seminal work. I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, by the incredible Maya Angelou.
An absolutely foundational book. Angelou wasn't just an author, though. She was, well, a force of nature. A poet, activist, singer, director, just multifaceted.
And this book, her first autobiography, it just exploded onto the scene in 1969. It tells the story of her childhood, ages 3 to 17.
Right. And its significance today, it's partly a historical document, you know, about growing up black in the Jim Crow South, but it's also this universal story of resilience.
Finding your voice against, well, against overwhelming odds.
Exactly. It's about trauma, identity, the power of words. Themes that resonate just as strongly now. How do you maintain hope and dignity when the world tries to strip them away? That's the core question she explores.
So relevant for anyone who's ever felt silenced or marginalized. Let's get into that journey.
The chronological journey.
Okay, so let's trace that journey. Her formative years. They begin with a real shock, don't they? Displacement.
Yeah, Marguerite Johnson Maya and her brother Bailey Jr., they were sent away by their parents around age 3. Sent from California all the way to Stamps, Arkansas.
To live with their paternal grandmother, Annie Henderson, or Mama.
Mm-hmm. And Mama Henderson was this figure of incredible strength, quiet dignity, deep faith. She owned the only black-owned general store in that segregated town.
Imagine. So Mama taught her work ethic, survival, how to navigate that incredibly hostile environment.
Absolutely. But those early years were also marked by these brutal introductions to racism. It wasn't abstract. It was deeply personal.
Like that infamous story about the white dentist.
Right. Refusing to treat her abscessed tooth simply because she was black. Saying he'd rather put his hand in a dog's mouth. It's harrowing. It teaches young Maya about the deep-seated dehumanization of racism.
Such a visceral example of that rigid, cruel hierarchy. Then comes another huge upheaval around age 7. A move to St. Louis.
Yes, to live with their mother, Vivian Baxter, who is this glamorous, almost larger-than-life figure, very different from Mama Henderson, and her boyfriend, Mr. Freeman.
And this is where the story takes an incredibly dark turn.
It does. Maya was sexually abused by Mr. Freeman, and then the trauma compounded. After she spoke out about it, telling her brother who told the family, Mr. Freeman was found dead, likely killed by her uncles.
And Maya, just a child, blamed herself.
Completely. She believed her voice, her words had killed him. Which led to this profound decision. She stopped speaking.
For almost 5 years.
Or nearly 5 years. She only spoke to her brother, Bailey. It's the ultimate symbol of being caged, isn't it? That self-imposed silence born out of trauma and guilt.
That's the absolute low point. The struggle becomes internalized. So how does she start to break free? The rise from that silence.
Oh, they eventually return to Stamps, and Maya is still trapped in this mutism. But then a key figure emerges. Mrs. Bertha Flowers.
Ah, yes. Described as this elegant, educated black woman in the community.
Exactly. And Mrs. Flowers saw past the silence. She saw the intelligence, the spirit underneath. She became a mentor.
How did she help Maya find her voice again?
Through literature. Through respect. Mrs. Flowers would read poetry and novels aloud to her. She gave Maya books, but also treated her like someone worthy of intelligent conversation.
And she gave her that crucial lesson. About words needing the human voice.
Words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes the human voice to infuse them with shades of deeper meaning. That idea was transformative. It unlocked the power of language as voice for Maya.
So literature becomes the key that starts to unlock the cage.
Precisely. Then, as an adolescent, she reunites with her mother, Vivian, this time in California, during World War II, Oakland, San Francisco.
A very different environment again, urban, wartime. But still facing challenges, right? Issues of identity.
Oh, definitely.
Right.
She writes very honestly about her insecurities, feeling awkward, unattractive, a too large black girl with nappy hair, dealing with racism in a new setting, and just the universal struggles of adolescence.
But she also starts showing this incredible determination, that streetcar conductor story.
That's a fantastic example of her growing agency. Mm-hmm. She decided she wanted to be a streetcar conductor in San Francisco, but they weren't hiring black women.
So she just kept going back.
Day after day. Refused to take no for an answer. Persistence personified. And she eventually became the first black female streetcar conductor there. A huge victory.
A real breakthrough moment in claiming her space. And then there was even a period where she ran away.
Briefly, yes. Lived in a junkyard community with other young people for about a month. Another experience that, while tough, taught her self-reliance.
So these experiences are building resilience, shaping her. And the book culminates really with another major life event.
Yes. Near the end of her recounting these formative years, after a difficult trip with her estranged father, she has a brief, confusing sexual encounter and becomes pregnant at 16.
Hiding it for months.
Hiding it for 8 months, terrified of the reaction. But when she finally confesses to her mother, Vivian's response is unexpectedly loving and supportive.
Which must have been profound.
Immensely. And the birth of her son, Guy, right at the end of the book, becomes this moment of sort of anchoring. It brings purpose, unconditional love, and a deep sense of self-acceptance. She survived, she's found a voice, and now she has this profound connection. The caged bird is, in many ways, finding its song through motherhood.
Core philosophy and values.
Looking back at that whole journey, what would you say are the core philosophies or values that drove Maya Angelou based on this period?
Well, central, obviously, is the power of voice. Finding it, using it, understanding its connection to identity and freedom. Silence can be protective, she shows us that, but ultimately, speaking your truth is liberation.
Right. There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. That famous quote really captures it.
Exactly. Then there's the confrontation with racism, not just as a system, but its psychological weight, how it tries to define you, limit you.
And her philosophy includes the ways the Black community resisted that, finding dignity and solidarity.
Yes. And integral to that resistance and to her personal liberation is education and literature. Books were her lifeline.
An escape, but also a way to understand the world and herself.
Mm-hmm. They built empathy, critical thinking, hope. So the value of learning of words is paramount. And underpinning everything is resilience.
But not a passive resilience, right? It's active. It's about agency.
Absolutely. It's about navigating incredible hardship while holding on to your humanity. It's about acknowledging the pain, but choosing growth. It's learned. It's fought for.
And finally, the complexity of family and belonging. It wasn't simple for her.
Not at all. Abandonment and love coexist. She had these very different models of strength in Mama and Vivian. It suggests that belonging isn't always about traditional structures. It's something you can forge yourself, find in community, and ultimately build within.
Three pivotal turning points.
If we had to pick three pivotal moments, three turning points that dramatically altered her path in this early life, what would they be?
Okay, that's a great way to focus it. First, undeniably, has to be the trauma in St. Louis and the resulting silence.
The abuse and Mr. Freeman's death.
Yes. That event fundamentally reshaped her childhood. It wasn't just the act itself, but the guilt and the belief that her voice was dangerous. It plunged her into that 5-year silence, which became a defining experience. Overcoming that silence set the stage for her lifelong exploration of voice.
Okay, so that's number one, the trauma and the cage of silence. What's the second turning point?
I'd say meeting Mrs. Bertha Flowers. That relationship was the catalyst for unlocking the cage.
The mentor.
Exactly. Mrs. Flowers didn't just give her books. She gave her respect, validation, and that crucial insight about the power of the spoken word. Without Mrs. Flowers seeing her potential and actively nurturing it, Maya's path might have been very different. It was the moment someone offered her a key.
A key made of words and belief. Okay, that's powerful. And the third turning point.
I think it's becoming the streetcar conductor in San Francisco.
Really? Over, say, the birth of her son?
Well, the birth of Guy is the culmination, the anchoring. But the streetcar incident feels like the turning point in terms of her agency in the external world. It was her first major self-initiated battle against systemic racism and sexism, and she won.
I see. It proved to herself she could fight the system and claim space.
Right. It demonstrated her resolve, her refusal to accept limitations imposed on her. It was a conscious act of defiance that built a new kind of strength and self-perception. Trauma silenced her. Mrs. Flowers helped her find her voice through literature. And the streetcar job showed her how to use that burgeoning strength to challenge the world.
Human lessons and reflection.
So, stepping back, what does Maya Angelou's early life, as told in Caged Bird, teach us as humans navigating our own lives today?
So much. I mean, on a fundamental level, it teaches us about the sheer resilience of the human spirit. That even after profound trauma and facing systemic oppression, healing and growth are possible.
It's not about not being wounded, is it? It's about how you carry those wounds.
Exactly. It normalizes struggle, but also offers profound hope. It shows that recovery involves finding ways to integrate painful experiences, not erase them. And often that involves finding your voice, literally or metaphorically.
The importance of speaking your truth, even when it's difficult.
Yes. And it highlights the incredible power of connection and mentorship. One person, like Mrs. Flowers, believing in you can change everything. It's a call for us to be that person for others, maybe.
Definitely. And to recognize the mentors in our own lives.
Yeah.
It also gives such a powerful lens on understanding prejudice.
It moves racism from an abstract concept to lived, felt, experienced the humiliation, the internalized messages, the constant navigation. It builds empathy in a way statistics just can't.
Right, you feel the weight of it through her story.
And ultimately, it's a lesson in self-creation. Angelou wasn't defined solely by her trauma or her circumstances. She actively built her identity through her choices, her reading, her persistence, her relationships. It tells us we have agency, even when things feel impossible.
That ability to shape meaning from experience, even painful experience, that feels very universal.
Three final takeaways.
So boiling it down, if you take away just three core insights from this deep dive into I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
Right, what's the first one?
An emotional insight. It's the profound realization that your inherent dignity, your worth, your potential, they can't actually be destroyed by external forces, no matter how brutal or dehumanizing. That core self can endure.
That's powerful. Okay, the intellectual takeaway.
An intellectual insight. This is Angelou's radical reframing of the victim narrative. She doesn't present herself as someone merely enduring suffering. She's an active agent, a survivor who forges her identity and voice from the raw materials of pain, love, literature, and incredible willpower. It's about transformation, not just endurance.
Right. She owns a narrative. And finally, the universal lesson.
A universal insight. It's that every single person possesses inherent worth and potential that demands recognition and nurturing. Circumstances, background, they don't diminish that intrinsic value. And crucial tools for unlocking that potential for liberation are education, literature, and supportive human connection.
Closing narration.
If the Caged Bird song is ultimately about freedom, as our expert just pointed out, maybe take a moment to think. What hidden cages might you be challenging in your own life, and what song are you rated to sing? We absolutely encourage you to read I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings yourself.
Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.